This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Well, hello and welcome, everyone. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. Today, I want to talk to you about what it takes to create a healthy organization. Healthy organization. Listen, maybe you're working right now in an organization and you know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of dysfunction. There's a lot of dissidence, maybe a lot of manipulation. Maybe it's a control and command type organization. All those things are going on in a lot of different organizations. That may they're a bad organization. It just means that maybe it's time for a change. Maybe it's time to open up this company you're working with, and maybe you're the one. Maybe you're the messenger. Interesting. Might be. Well, listen, I have a guest today that's going to help us to find the courage to really create healthy organizations. And we're going to be talking about breaking some of the cycles of resistance and opening up curiosity, opening up maybe desire and purpose and understanding, a little wisdom, so that the organization can really change. Now, this isn't a fluffy type of presentation. This is down-to-earth, practical ways that you can take your organization, if you're the owner, and make the changes so that what'll happen? Well, when you step into this that we're going to be talking about today, wouldn't you like to have a little less turnover? Wouldn't you like to have more loyal people? Wouldn't you like to have people that are happier, that are healthier, that are more vital? Wouldn't you like to have more productive people in your organization? All this can happen when you learn the principles about what we're going to talk to today. So with that note, I'm going to take a quick break. And then when I come back, I'm going to introduce my guest today. Well, we are back, and my guest is in the studio, Dr. Dawn Marie Turner. Welcome to the show. It's so good to have you today.
Thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here.
Wow. When I saw the topic come in from your press people, and I thought, I could hardly wait to talk to Dr. Dawn Marie, because she has some information that I know some organizations can really use. So let me give you a former introduction. Dr. Dawn Marie Turner is an educator. She's a speaker. She's a coach. She's a certified brain-based coach. She's a certified management consultant. And she is the author of Launch, Lead, and Live, the Executive's Guides to Preventing Resistance and Succeeding with Organizational Change. She's also the president of Turner Change Management. All right. That's a lot. I always like to start out. How did you get there? How did you get where you are? Where did you start? What happened here?
Well, I'll give you the Coles Notes version. I started my career as a nurse, and I was working in my mid-20s, running an adolescent health education center, working with teenage moms who were challenged with managing parenting and all of the changes that were going on related to just being a teenager at the same time. And some really thrived and others really struggled with lifestyle changes and change in general. And I didn't know it then, but that job changed the entire trajectory of my career And so when I started working in organizations, I saw a similar pattern where organizations were spending hundreds of thousands, so much money, time, and energy on changes that weren't sticking, on and creating cynical, disengaged employees. And I went, there's a better way to do this. I know it. And so I've spent the past 20 years showing leaders how to create a readiness environment, how to use practical science-based strategies to create healthier and stronger organizations with employees who aren't afraid of change, who can embrace it.
I love that. You know, when I wake up in the morning, was taught, wake up and say to yourself, I am ready, awake. I'm awake and ready. I'm awake and ready. And then I go into gratitude. That's how I wake up in the morning, most mornings.
Fantastic.
And, but I want to talk to you about what is a readiness attitude. That's how I do it. But, you know, I think it's a little more deep than that. What's a readiness attitude?
Well, I think what it's helpful to think about is a readiness mindset. You know, one of the things that has become embedded in the way we think about change is that people resist change. I hear that all the time. Well, you know, people resist change. Yeah, you know, people resist change. And leaders approach their employees from that, I call, resistant mindset. A readiness mindset flips that switch and says, wait a minute, let's challenge that a little bit. Because if we truly resisted change as humans, then change should be rare. And it's not. We're changing all the time. So a readiness mindset says, I believe that I am capable of change. I believe that if I understand the need, if I feel prepared, capable, supported within the environment, I can make the changes I need to make within the organization, within my life, within the community I live.
Well, I love that a lot, but you know, I think there's a lot of organizations out there that pretend to be supportive, but they're not really. So how do we create an environment within an organization that really is supportive? I think leaders want a supportive environment. I don't think it's like they're trying to, you know, manipulate, you know, most people aren't. They really want a supportive environment. I don't know if they have the skill sets to do that. Let's just talk about that.
Yeah. You know, I think the very first thing, and this is the first strategy I teach all the leaders that I work with. The first thing that we need to do is let go of the idea that people are resistant to change. Just take it out of your vocabulary. Let's stop talking about resistance to change as if it's a fait accompli. Because what happens is that's what it becomes, a self-fulfilling prophecy. So instead, the very first thing that I ask leaders to do is say, when I'm going to introduce something new, instead of saying, how will we manage the resistance, I ask them to say, what will we need to do to ensure that people feel prepared and capable in taking the journey with us? And just that shift in language makes a huge difference in the way leaders will approach change.
Well, you know, I had my good friend Stephen Covey on the show recently, and Stephen has a new book out. It's called Trust and Inspire, and he's helping people go from the old control and command mindset in corporations to trust and inspire. What you said about being capable, well, that involves trust. You know, a lot of times leaders don't believe that their subordinates are capable. How do you help people overcome that?
Well, first of all, you need to shift that mindset. That's why we work with leaders to say, let's adopt a readiness mindset. Because a readiness mindset says that people are capable, first and foremost, that people are capable of change. And then we have to start asking, what do they need to be capable? Because when we're going to take on something new and different, we've got to unlearn a way of doing something, whatever it is, a habit, a function that we've well accomplished and is well entrenched. we have to go through an unlearning process. We have to go through a learning process. And then we have to go through a stabilization process. So as leaders, we need to look at, okay, what do I need to do to create the environment that allows that to occur? And that's why the readiness mindset is so valuable, because when you're working with resistance anywhere along that trajectory, it's too easy to get frustrated and say, well, they're just resistant to change. But when you're working with readiness, you go, okay, this is the trajectory we need to go. Let's look at where we are and what we can do to support that.
I love that. Leslie, I got to take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about maybe some of the things that leaders are doing wrong that the readiness mindset would be able to help them shift that really quickly.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
The station that makes you feel good.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is a fascinating conversation for leaders. I'm hoping that if you know some leaders in your organization, that you're going to have them watch this now or watch the rerun, because I think they're going to get a lot out of this. Dr. Don Turner, all righty, let's ask that question. What's the number one thing leaders are doing wrong right now?
So I think the number one thing that leaders are doing wrong, besides labeling people as resistant to change, that's probably the first thing that, you know, we're misinterpreting. They're misinterpreting what are normal human reactions to change as resistance. The other thing that they're doing wrong is not appreciating the time that they've spent getting themselves and organizing themselves around the changes that they want to make in the organization. Leaders start the journey sooner. And so very often they will launch the change and expect the employees to be at their level of readiness for taking the next step. And they're just simply not there.
Okay. They're simply not there. All right. So how do we get them there? How do we help employees to adapt to change so that they can get there, right?
Yeah. So for leaders, what that means is understanding some of the core elements that we need in order to help us get ready. So the first thing is we really need leaders to get comfortable with the why questions and for allowing their employees to explore the change from a number of different perspectives, and not interpreting that exploration, those questions that they ask, the challenges, raising the risks, all of that as resistance to change, as recognizing that when your employees start to ask questions about what you're doing, that's to be celebrated, because that means they're interested. That's what I tell my private clients. I say, as soon as your employees start asking questions, you go, yes, I have now engaged with them, and we can start having a conversation about what it takes to move forward.
Well, you know what? I can apply that in my home life, too. I have family members that ask a lot of why questions. And so, you know, I love that mind shift, though. That's really cool. So the mind shift is, oh, they're interested. instead of resistance. Like, oh, why are you asking me that? What's wrong? What do you think? Something's wrong with me? Something's wrong with the organization? That place that really creates resistance and stops change.
Idea of really creating the curiosity about what you're receiving back. So for leaders, when you put the idea of change out there, because remember, you're just putting an idea out there yet. Making the decision isn't actually really creating change. It's just an idea and a decision. No change has occurred yet. Then you want to seed yourself with a curiosity about what you get back.
Wow. You know, I just on a personal note, I had a family member that was in the hospital early in the year, and that person's fine now. But, you know, when they were in the hospital, I was up at my sister's house, and she's been a nurse for 30 years, right? So every evening I would come home and my sister would say, did you ask the doctor like 10 different things every single day? Why did he do this? Why did he do that? Why is this about? Why is he doing it? And she conditioned me to go back every day and ask all these why questions, which, you know, from the asking side, I thought I would get resistance, right? But no, the doctors were very open to that. So, yeah, I love where we're going here, you know? And I think that, if you're an employee, you might not get as much resistance as you think. Maybe, you know your boss.
The leaders have to set up the environment. Unfortunately, you know, I hear lots of employees talk about the fact that, well, I don't want to ask too many questions because I'm afraid of being seen as not a team player. And I like the idea of where the organization is going, but I have some questions. So it's up to leaders to create that environment that encourages the questions. And the way they do that is by shifting their own interpretation of those questions. Those questions aren't challenging your decision, although it can sound like it. They're not. They're an attempt for the people to understand what's happening to them and the impact it's going to have on them so that they can stabilize and begin to prepare.
I love that. Well, you know, one of the reasons I'm an entrepreneur and have been for several decades is that I considered myself unemployable because of what we're talking about. I would go in and I would have solutions and questions for the leaders. And boy, people did not like that. They didn't like that from me anyway. So I was like, well, okay, I'm going to create my own organization. I'll be able to do what I want. I can ask myself the right questions. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about shared storytelling. What is that? And I know it's one of your techniques. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Oh, thanks for asking. Yes, you know, that's another important aspect of creating the readiness for change. We engage with our life. We make sense of our world, all of us as human beings, through the stories we tell ourselves, the stories we tell our colleagues, the stories we tell our friends and family. Everything is around stories. So when leaders are engaging in something new, what we want to do and what we teach leaders to do is to create the story for it, not just a set of goals. You really want to get people into the story. They need to see what it's going to look and feel like, see that they're capable of it, all of that, and then make that story their own as they go through the journey. So that's what I mean about shared storytelling. Really, first the leader creates it, and then they engage with their employees to begin to shape that story to achieve what it is their organization wants to achieve.
You know, there's a lot of depth to this. I'd like to explore this a little bit more. Maybe give us an example of what a leader would create a story and how that would open things up for others to share. I got to take a quick break, so we'll do that right after the break. All righty. Well, welcome back, everybody. If you just joined us, the name of our show today is The Courage to Create Healthy Organizations. I'm interviewing Dr. Dawn Marie Turner, and we're talking about storytelling right now. Okay. Example of maybe a leader that creates a story that opens up an environment for others. So can you give me an example of that?
Yeah. You know, I worked with an executive team that was having a great deal of conflict. Maybe helpful to share what they did. They were having lots of conflict. They had a strategy plan. They had goals, but they really were working at cross purposes, even though they were working towards the same goal. So what we did was we said, well, let's look at what your organization would look and feel like when you've accomplished all of these goals. Let's create the story of what the ending, well, first the ending of the story, and then we'll work backwards. So that's what we did. We started to get, well, what do your relationships look like? What kind of conversations are you having? What does it look and feel like? And we got them to connect emotionally with the story, because that's what story does for us, right? We connect with it. And suddenly they could see something completely different. And that changed the whole scope of the way they began to interact with each other. So if this is the story they were living, then they could identify different actions that they needed to take, different ways of engaging in conversations, because that was all part of the story that they began to tell and they began to live as part of their organization.
Yeah. You know, I work with a colonel back in Auburn, and he's the head of a project called the Hap Arnold Project, where they bring in speakers every year, and they teach them to tell stories, right? Tell powerful stories. And then I have them on my show every year, and we take the winners and we put them on the show. Like what you just said, the emotional part is key to this. But, you know, there's the other part, I think, to get to the emotion is when a leader can be vulnerable, when a leader can be authentic and real with their peers, it creates respect, it creates trust, it creates understanding. And that's what I'm getting that you're doing with the shared storytelling piece of this. Is that pretty accurate or no?
Yeah, I think the leader first has to examine what does the story look like. You're right. And there is a level of vulnerability because the story may change a little bit as people adapt and fine tune it to fit them, especially as you go to different levels or areas of the organization. But the essence of the story stays the same. Yeah. And so it requires trust for leaders, right? To talk about that, to be willing to explore that emotional element. You know, when I talk to leaders and say, well, why don't you talk about what you feel like? Well, what do feelings have to do with it? Everything.
They still say that. That's hysterical.
Yeah. You know, emotions get a bad rap in business, but we don't do anything without connecting with our emotional core first. We don't even make rational decisions before our emotional core is connected and had a chance to kind of check in, right? So doing that and creating that story, and the stories outlive the leaders. That's the value as well. You create a powerful story, especially for transformation of an organization that needs to extend beyond leaders. That story will carry that for a long, long time.
I love that. Well, you know, if I was leading some of these organizations, I would make sure that we have the ability to express ourselves mentally, emotionally, you know, physically, spiritually, you know, in a safe environment within the organization. It's not a therapy group, but it's a place where you can at least express your true feelings in a safe place. Anyway, just food for thought.
You're right. It's not therapy. And the other thing that leaders struggle with is it doesn't mean that as a leader, you're not leading and directing the organization. That's not what this is about. It's not about everybody making every decision. And that would just be chaos. It's about engaging people in taking your organization where it needs and wants to go so that they can help.
You know, I have another organization that a friend of mine leads. It's called Boys to Men, and it's for young teens. And what he's done is he's created an environment where they trust each other. And what happens is with trust comes lack of judgment. They've been trained to let go of their judgments and just be observers of others and be supportive and allowing others to be who they are. Right. And in honoring everybody's individuality, right? And diversity.
Yeah.
So, you know, if teenagers can do it, we can do this in companies. That's what I know.
We can. And to let go of our assumptions, going back to that whole concept of readiness mindset versus resistant mindset. Let go of that assumption. How many times are we making assumptions about a person's action or reaction without checking in? And that's the other thing. We really strongly work with our leaders to say, let go. If you are going to assume that you understand what you're seeing, then check it out that it's valid. And are you in this present moment, or are you looking at the past and bringing it forward into the present moment? And that will taint what the opportunity is in that present moment.
You make a good point, and you really make a good point. And I would say this to any leader that's listening here. Information now is doubling every 12 hours, right? So if you think you know and you have all the answers, you don't, okay? You just don't. You never will. if you think you know somebody else's story, I mean, me personally, I can't tell you how many times I put my foot in my mouth assuming that I knew somebody's out there, you know, what happened to them or what didn't happen to them and why they didn't show up the way they did. But I've been humbled when I learned their story and I realize what, you know, compassion plays a deep part in effective leadership. That's what I know.
Yeah, I agree completely. Yes, we need to demonstrate compassion and curiosity. I call it the three Cs: compassion, curiosity, and confidence that your employees want to your organization to succeed. It's in their best interest. They're not out to harm it. And often some of the behaviors that get labeled as resistance are because the employees care and they're concerned about what's going to happen as a result.
Now, you know what I love about what we're talking about today? All of these are learned skill sets. Everything you can learn as a leader, you can learn non-judgment, you can learn compassion, you can learn how to communicate effectively, you can learn how to create a readiness environment, you can learn how to let go of, you know, knowing, having to know it all. You really can. It's really, really powerful conversation. Let me ask you, Dr. Don Marie, change fatigue. Is there something as change fatigue? Do we get too much change? And if so, how do we?
Yeah, great question. Yes, change fatigue is a real problem, and it's growing. And part of it comes as a result of there's just too much disconnected and uncoordinated change in organizations. So organizations are approaching, you know, one change initiative after another without looking holistically at the changes. In one organization I worked with, one department made a change that allowed them to be, I don't know, about 30% more efficient, which netted downstream another organization that was 50 to 60% less efficient because of all of the downstream changes. So change fatigue is that apathy that goes, it's just too much. I can't handle all of this. I'm going to just come down and just do it what I know what to do, which maintains that status quo. So you get apathy first, you get a level of disengagement, and then ultimately you get people leaving the organization, turnover, And what you don't get is real change in the organization.
Well, I would guess change fatigue leaves symptoms, and you just gave a whole bunch of them, which I really like that. I've got on the screen right now how to get a hold of you, Dr. Donmarie Turner, at Think Transition. I love that. ThinkTransition.com. ThinkTransition.com. If you are listening on our audio area, then, you know, that's the place to go. If you're listening, if you can see it on the screen, great. Hey, you know what it takes to contact Don, Dr. Donmarie? It takes courage. Takes courage to step into your courage. Like, you know, when is it going to change? If nothing changes, then nothing changes. So if you want to change and you want your organization to get better, I'd encourage you to reach out and find the courage to make that connection today. All right. I got to take a quick break. We come back. Let's talk to a little bit about if you're team right now is definitely resistant to change, right? Some teams are like that. You're thinking, you're sitting there going, this all sounds great, but my team is never going to buy this. Stay tuned. We got some answers for you as soon as we come back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
The station that makes you feel good.
All right, let's answer that question. This all sounds great, but my team is never going to buy this. What do you say to that?
It's funny. I hear that all the time. I say to people, look, you know, people really don't resist change. And the leader will say to me, oh, you haven't met my team. No. But it's true. The first thing I would say is ask yourself, why do you believe they are resistant? What are you seeing that says they're resistant? And is it truly resistance to change, right? Often what we're doing when we are labeling people as resistant is we're taking normal behaviors, questioning, challenges, a fear of the unknown, uncertainty, and labeling those as resistance. So that's the first thing I would say is check in with your own belief system, and because the problem isn't that people are resistant to change. The problem starts when you believe they're resistant to change.
Self-fulfilling prophecies can happen like this in your organization and within even your family life. You know, when you lock somebody into this is the way they are, you've really limited yourself and your organization and, of course, that person. Because that's not who they really are. You've identified them as a skill set or a values judgment or a belief that you have that this is the way they are. It's not true. You may think it's true, but every one of us has so much more when people believe in us. When you look at them and go, you know what? You're a powerful change maker. I know you can change. Help me lead this new change management that we're bringing in with Dr. Donmarie Turner. Help me with that. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I know. Listen, go ahead.
I'm just going to say, I've seen that so many times. You know, I've worked with organizations where when the change is first announced, yeah, you know, employees were like, I'll retire before I'll ever do this, to that same employee being one of the trainers and the super users that is inspiring and motivating other employees and have extended beyond their retirement to see it through. So I think you're on, it's a really important point. I love that you made it, that if we box people in, we box them in ourselves. We do it, right? So let's open up the potential.
And we do this through the readiness mindset, which is what we have been talking about the whole time. So let's talk about readiness mindset, and let's see how we're doing in time. We still got a few minutes. Readiness mindset is not just for your business. This is something for your family, your relationships, even with your friendships. Let's talk about family, though. How do we apply readiness mindset in our families?
Well, it's similar, right? Yes, it's so true. It's for everyone. It's for you as an individual. So in your family, when you are introducing something new or you want, you know, teenagers come to mind, your teenagers to do something differently, then we need to start looking at it from their perspective and understanding what is driving the current behaviors, the current actions, and begin to engage them with the potential for doing something different, not for controlling, not for manipulating them, but for guiding them and creating the opportunities for them to see the world from a different perspective. I learned that a long time ago when I was working with those teenagers. So that's one example in terms of family life. Your spouse, you know, we tend to want to focus on, well, you're always that way. Well, is that really true? What if you take a step back and go, I'm hearing, and be willing to look at, take a second and look at the world from their perspective? You might be saying, you might be surprised what you discover.
Yeah, a friend of mine is, her name is Halise Bridges. And Halise has put 40 million ribbons on people. They're blue and gold ribbons, and they say, who I am makes a difference. And when you can start to believe in your spouse, your family member, you start to look at how they make a difference in your life, and you start to acknowledge that, you start to believe in them in greater ways, it's you watch the changes that happen.
Yeah.
They step into your expectation 9 times out of 10. It's unreal.
It's amazing, right?
Yeah,
people will rise to the expectations of their potential if they see it themselves. The same way for individual change. The readiness mindset is very helpful when you think of your own changes. If you've been struggling to make changes in your life, then adopting a readiness mindset allows you some space. You can go in and say, okay, what's holding me back? Not, oh, I just can't do this. I'm resistant to change. I'm no good. You can shift the language that inner voice starts to give to you and the stories you tell yourself that create the capability within yourself. It doesn't mean it's going to be super easy. There's no magic bullet, but you can create your own potential as you adopt this.
Yeah, you can. And by the key to that is, like Don just said, ask better questions, right, of yourself, right? Just FYI, Don, you don't know this about me. I wrote the book of questions. It's called Ask and You Will Succeed. It's 1001 Ordinary Questions to Create Extraordinary Results. It's on Amazon. And the reason I wrote that is just because of what you just said, because I know so many people ask poor questions. If you ask, what's wrong with me? Why I'm a schmuck? What's, you know, what, why my boss sucks? I guarantee you'll always get the answer. Maybe you'll ask a better question than you really, you know, if you think about it. All right, listen, we're kind of running out of time. I got a little more time. Let's talk about your book. My goodness, I forgot to even put it on screen yet, but I want to put it up there so we can all see it. And it's called Launch, Lead, and Live. And you wrote this. Why did you write the book, by the way?
I wrote it in 2015. It published in 2015.
Great. Is it still current today?
Yes, I think so. I am still using it. I think the message in this book is what we've been talking about. The message in this book is to say, look, you can prevent resistance to change. It is not inevitable. When you shift your mindset and when you do some basic activities that are for many leaders counterintuitive.
I love it. I love
it. They're easy. They're easy. They just take some practice. Leaders who aren't used to this, need to get comfortable themselves because leading in this way is a change for the leaders.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, repetition is the mother load of skill set, right? So repetition, repetition, repetition. If that's you, if you're a leader and you want to step into this, there's nothing better than repeating what you've learned today. In fact, I'm a little biased. Get this audio or video, whichever one, and listen to it a few times. Connect with it. Then go connect with Dr. Dawn Marie. She will help you to help your organizations take it to the next level. All right, I'm going to close out here in a second, but let me ask you this. You got the microphone. We're syndicated in 185 countries, 22 TV stations, a whole bunch of radio stations, podcasts all over the place. What, you got the microphone. What's your message to leaders around the world right now?
My message is that it is possible to create healthier and stronger organizations through change, where you thrive instead of just survive in spite of the changes that are occurring. It is possible.
It's not only possible, it's probable if you go and search out Dr. Dawn Marie Turner. All right. Well, thank you so much for being part of this today. It's really been my pleasure. And I think we accomplished our goals that we talked about early on. My audience has been enlightened by you today. So thank you, Dawn.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's been a real pleasure to be with you and to chat with your audience.
Okay. Until we meet again.
Take care.
All right. For all of you that are still here with me today, I want to thank you for listening. I want to encourage you, of course, to, like I always do, let's do one thing today. Let one person know about what you just learned. Let one person know about that. And that might be in connecting them to this podcast or the broadcast on the TV. We're on YouTube, we're on Facebook, we're on LinkedIn, we're all over the place. Or you can go to voicesofcourage.us and get all the replays. There's so much wisdom in that site. And by the way, if you'd like, go on our homepage and join us as an Insight member. We give you insights into some of the backstories of our guests. We give you free tickets now and then. We give you to some amazing events, by the way. And we give you things that'll help you grow your business in life. So until next time, I pray all of you will continue to look for and see the unseeable and know the unknowable and do the impossible. You can do it.